Hi guys, welcome back to the VMP podcast, and I have another guest here with me today.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Okay, and how do I know you?
So I know Dumebi from RCF. It's a Christian club that we have here in medical school, and she's a part of the worship team. But
okay. For context, Ross Christian Fellowship, like he said, the fellowship here at Ross Medical School. So that's how we know each other. Mm-hmm. He's in fifth semester. I'm in third semester. Today's topic is going to be Christianity and med school. So my first question for you is, you were born and raised in a Christian home. Did you have a point in time in particular that you gave your life to Christ, or you just grew?
I don't think I necessarily gave my life to Christ per se. I given my life to Christ like from when I was like a young one, but I don't think there's like a moment where like I kind of like fell out of my faith mm-hmm. just because I was born and raised in the church. Like I do remember honestly, like when I was maybe like 12 or so, like we had like I was a part of like this thing called Royal Rangers. It's like this like in the church.
Did you say Royal Rangers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's for church, so it's like you have like missionaries and Royal Rangers. So like it's more like, oh, you're doing stuff with like wood and like making cars, and,
like okay. mainly so, like, stuff, Boy Scout.
but for God.
Okay.
Basically,
okay.
Boy Scouts for God. Okay. Almost like it's Boy Scouts for God.
That's cute.
And so like I was a part of that, and like they had something where like they gave you like a double blessing. Like they prayed over some double knotted thing, and,
oh, okay.
and so like there's little thing, and like I mean I was baptized like as a freshman in, or sophomore in college, high school, but like in terms of like come to faith, I think I've just thankfully been able to like grow and continue to grow just thankfully through the support of my parents. I also went to like a Christian college, and so I feel like just in every season that I've been in, well of course like I've had times I've maybe been upset with God like and things like that, like I've definitely just continued to grow in that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I necessarily like have like a set, like I remember when I gave my life to Christ, but I think there's just like moments of like him just keeping me in my faith. And I would say that's more what it is.
Yeah, I think we have a similar story. I remember doing like a confession prayer in like grade 3. But from then to now, I'm pretty sure I've rededicated my life many times. but I don't think there's ever been a time that I wasn't a Christian. Mm-hmm. Was I always acting like one? Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever a time. Yeah. I wasn't a Christian. So, and I remember I used to feel like I was missing something. Because I felt like I didn't have a story. I didn't have like a deliverance story to mm-hmm. be like, this is what God delivered me from. But I'm realizing that, no, he delivered me from a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because I was born in a Christian family. It's I didn't engage in a lot of things
exactly.
that would have yeah. left scars.
Yes,
that I still have scars, but it would have been worse.
No, that's really
yeah, true. Yeah, I'm grateful for that. So did you always want to do medicine?
No. So, like I said, we are also part of like worship together, and so just growing up, like I've always like done songwriting and like poetry, actually like in the denomination that I grew up in.
Wow, that's a nice car.
In the denomination that I grew up in, we had this Christian Fine Arts Festival, mm-hmm. and so pretty much like any type of like you could do dance, songwriting, singing, like spoken word, poetry, photography. I'm just any like fine arts.
That's cool.
And it's for God. Like, it was the coolest thing. And so I grew up doing that as well. So like I've always song written.
He has a nice voice.
I thank you. Yeah, it's like really like I've loved to just like, and so like, and I love worship, like all of that. Mm. And so for the longest, like especially like when you tend to be good at something in the church, like I feel like that becomes like a, oh, you have to do that.
Mm.
And a lot of people tend to like pick that as like, oh, like you're really good like at, I don't know, teaching, so then you have to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you want to do something like an actual, like a non-Christian college, like you want to teach or be a professor. And sometimes it gets frowned upon. And so for me, I was often told that like I should do music ministry or like okay. do something for the church.
Okay.
And so for the longest, like also because like I desire to, like I long to, like, oh, you're good at something, so like you kind of want to go through it. But so for me, it was music and medicine, like, the mm-hmm. two divide. And then I feel like that sometime in high school, I was like, you know what, like also looking like logistically, like what musicians make and stuff like that is not
a valid point.
Like, you have to make it. And like, I feel like I have like the talent and things like that to be able to make it and like the authenticity, but I also don't necessarily desire that. And so I didn't really want to
like
put myself out.
Audience in terms like with
yes.
music, I mean, obviously there are great Christian artists out there,
mm-hmm.
but like in terms of who makes it, a lot of times what sells isn't Christ.
And you kind of lose it. Yeah, you're losing the Christianity and the Christian sphere. And so honestly, just seeing all of that, I'm like, if the Lord desires for something that I make to blow up, like, so be it. Mm-hmm. If I got offered something, like, I would totally take it. But like, I'm not called to pursue that. And also just growing up, like, I always like to make these little concoctions for like my brother. And so like, I would do like these little like lotion and like toothpaste and mix it together, mm-hmm. rub it on him. And he'd say it felt better. And so like, I feel like I've always had the desire to like
love on healing.
People and yeah. And like to help people in that way. And my sisters are also 9 years younger than me. And so like, just seeing them grow up,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's just been like medicine. It's kind of been like what I've been called to. And so finally, like my maybe sophomore or so year in high school, I decided to just pursue it. And actually my, I had it confirmed by a lot of people, like, but thankfully, like, people never really told me, like, that I was supposed to do medicine until I decided to do it, which I was grateful for. Because I feel like what often happens is, like, when you have a calling in your life and, like, let's say somebody prophesies for you something, like, if you drill that into somebody from such a young age, like, you don't even know if it's, like, let's say it wasn't even true, but you were still going in and thinking, like, you're disappointing God because you didn't do it. And so, thankfully, like, how it worked out, like, everybody who like felt that that was for my life never even told me anything until I decided myself.
Okay.
And so that was like the biggest thing for me. And so like, now I've been, I almost straight away, like my sophomore year of college also, I'm just hearing somebody just talking in my ear a lot about like how hard medicine is and how like, because like he was projecting his own fears about medicine on me. And like he was just in my ear. And so like, I remember one time I called my mom and I was like, hey, like, she said, why do I want to be a doctor? And so I told her, and she said, your heart hasn't changed, so you shouldn't be changing what career you want to do, unless your heart actually changes and like the calling in your life actually changes. Like, don't change just because of this person or that person, because they're not you. And I even find that to be the case, like, here, like, a lot of people like just go through all this stuff and say, oh, this is how it has to be, but we don't operate under the same authority, if that makes sense. And so all in all, like, I ended up coming to medicine. And I honestly thought that I was about to like let go of music forever, but like now I actually got to be like the worship leader 2 semesters ago, which like I would have never imagined like I would have been able to do. I got to play the drums here, which was like awesome, like last semester.
You played the guitar too, didn't you play the guitar?
Yeah, the bass guitar.
Yeah,
but like I like all those things that like I love to do, I was prepared to give them up. I was like, oh, I'm going to medical school. So like back in college, like I like played the drum, like I did everything just to like, I was like, okay, this is it, and like let me give it to God. But I like find that like the Lord just wanted to see if I would give it up to him. And so now like he's kind of rewarding me with it, knowing that like I didn't set it on the altar before him. Because like though we have these gifts and things like that, like I feel like sometimes, especially when you're good at things, like you're a great singer. But like if you were to say like, okay, oh yeah. But like if you were to say like, well, because I'm a good singer, like I'm gonna work in my own power to do like, we tend to forget like the giver of the gifts. And one thing I heard on a podcast once, so it's not even me, but like he said like, oftentimes when you when the Lord gives you something, we tend to close our hands, and then like, but
if you don't open your hands to release, you can't get
exactly
more from it ever.
You can't get anything else, and it's like he freely gives it, he could also freely take away, because he's the giver of all things. Whether we deem it as good or bad, he's the giver of all things, and it's good in his eyes. And so I think for me, like, it was good to just let that control go, to then, like, be kept along this medical journey, but also get to do fun things that, like, I enjoy to do, like, worshiping.
Cool, cool, cool. At this point in time, if you're listening, you should know my medical school journey and how I probably always wanted to do it. If you're new here, I always wanted to do medicine. Mm-hmm. I liked the brain from when I was a young child. Yeah, I just found it extremely fascinating. I had the cliche, like, I loved Ben Carson from his books.
Yeah.
So that was another motivation. I was good at science. But I remember, like, high school, undergrad, I wasn't sure if I should do medicine because I didn't like chemistry.
Yeah, I still don't like chemistry.
I didn't like chemistry. Yeah. And I was like, how can I do medicine if I don't like chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, and then obviously it's been a journey getting here. So at a point I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to do it. Maybe it's people who are smarter than me, people who really know. But not many ways, so we're here. So until he says otherwise, we're here. But yeah, okay. My next question for you is, what would you say to people who believe that science disproves God?
One, I feel like it does not. We were talking about this like a Bible study last week, and it came up on Sunday as well.
Okay.
I feel like it's like for a lot of things that like are like people kind of put out to be like chance is just not like for everything to go so perfect. Yeah, like it's like people call it like the divine like creator, like the one who just made all things. It's very interesting in my opinion, because we're even like in Bible study right now, we're reading through is like Genesis 1, and so we're talking about how like in the beginning was like this, in the beginning was that, and as he closed each day, it says like then it was evening and then it was morning again,
and then it was
and
evening.
So like it's like so like intentional to close off whatever he was doing that day to then like finish that and then prepare like make something new the next day. And that intentionality, I was like, but it's the same thing with us, like, because we learn all the time, especially being in medicine, like how like if just this little thing goes wrong, like you have all of these deformities and these defects, like for us to be talking to you right now, like that I think about it all the time, like for me to go like this, like I don't even know what I'm doing, like I don't even know how I'm
that's
speaking.
That's why I like the brain.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
because the brain controls all these things and you have not much control over it.
You have no control over it. Yeah, like even my thoughts and things like that, like there's just so much that like it's like so perfect. I feel like it just can't be chance. And that's not even why like I believe in God, because like I've experienced, like there's just so many things that like he's done in my life, like I can't, you know what I'm saying? But like
but
I
in think, terms of like science,
yeah, for science though, yeah, I think that's like the biggest thing. Like I don't think personally, and I feel like even like some like people that, because I listen to some like not debaters, but I think they're called I don't remember what they're called.
Oh, I know it. Because Preston is one of them. Preston Terry.
Yes.
What are they called?
I love
apologetic. Yes, apologetic.
Okay, so Preston and
I love Preston and Jackie. Yeah.
Oh. That's my feet. I was really listening to him.
I have Jackie's like devotion. Up. Yeah, that's what I'm using right now.
I give it to Elijah. Elijah. That's.
I also that was one of my Christmas presents. I'm so happy.
Oh my god! Hey Jackie, Preston, if you see this,
I would love to meet you. See, I'm fine. People refuse to come to Canada.
I'm in the States. It is easier. I'm in the States. But I think like just all of that like is even like the science aspect of it, like they. There's a lot that can be proven of that. I don't know all the facts and all that, but in my opinion, I think there's just too much to. I think it can be a both and, because I feel like we tend to do like it has to be this or that, but it can be like where like there's a lot of science that proves it as well as the faith. Like it doesn't have to be only faith and only science, because there's a lot of. I think I've even heard some stories of like scientists who became scientists because like it became Christians because like it was just so much that just didn't make sense from the science aspect. That it couldn't be the chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever watched the movie God's Not Dead?
No, I know the song. I think I've heard.
You should watch it. The second one, God's Not, because there are three parts. The second one was about a teacher who, a student in class, I can't remember the exact thing, a student was struggling or what happened, or maybe she had a Bible in class and she got asked about it.
Yeah.
And she got in trouble. She got sued by the parents or something like that.
Yeah.
So they were trying to make an example of her. They were trying to make an example of her. And so they brought different people. I think the second one was my favorite one out of all of them. And then it was there was a scientist that they brought, and he was saying all these things and how different things basically supported the Bible of God. And then I think he said that I didn't become a Christian because it required faith for me to believe in it. He said I became a Christian because the evidence was too much for me to ignore it. And I was like, I've never felt like science is true to God. I've always felt if anything gives you some explanation of the things you don't understand. Because otherwise, what do you know?
Yeah.
Like even the things that like it gives an explanation to, it's just man trying to understand something that they don't know. And it doesn't necessarily negate God.
Yeah.
It's just giving understanding the way your brain can like fathom it,
because we will never.
Because you can't really know how he works in its entirety.
If you look at Job, like he got to like Lord answer his like questions by like questions like do you
like,
see
do you
where
know?
This flows
yeah.
and do you tell the waves and the winds to reside and the lightning? And it's like even if we got that answer, like we still wouldn't even know the intricacies of who God is because our minds are so finite, which is okay because we're here on Earth at the moment, but.
I mean, there's so many things in science and in medicine where they accept that they don't understand everything.
Yeah.
And it's an accepted thing. And so why is it frowned upon that faith requires you to not know everything? People assume that faith means that there are no facts. Mm. And really, truly, in life, there are not as many hard facts as you think. There are theories, yeah, but facts, they're not as hard as you think. They, yeah, they come based off of multiple theories that stay for years. And, actually, yeah, and yeah, the same thing, and this faith has stayed for years. Like, the story has been, well, people tend, some mm-hmm. people do strange things with Christianity, but generally, yeah, the main story has stayed the same over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
There's enough evidence. Another movie that I know that shows that is The Case for Christ.
Mm.
And it was like, there was someone who said to him, this person was an atheist, who said to the man who was an atheist and was trying to make a case against Christ because his wife became a Christian and he was angry about it. And the person said to him that you need faith either way, to believe or not believe.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So he's like, if I need faith, I might as well believe.
Yeah.
And because I think someone said, there was another one who was a Christian and said to him, when would the evidence be enough evidence for you? Because he had tried. He had gone to see so many people to disprove and discredit the Bible, and he wasn't able to. Yeah. And everybody he went to see, they were not Christian.
Mm, yeah.
So I remember thinking that was a very good movie that I liked.
Yeah.
And one other thing was that I sometimes watch young children, not as much anymore,
yeah,
but there was an episode where I think the mom is the Christian there, and she was battling with something. There was a little girl that died. And so she was kind of struggling with her faith because of it. Like, how can she say the girl's in a better place to her parents and stuff like that? And so she was struggling with her faith, basically having an existential crisis because the faith was a huge part of who she was. And then Sheldon, who is not a Christian, in trying to comfort her, he said that he can't say that he believes in God, but for him to say that the way the earth sets up, the way gravity is set up on the earth is so precise that if it was any more, the earth will crush on itself, and if it was any less, it will fall apart. So he said, there must be something that must have made it that precise and put it in place. And I remember thinking, that's cool. Yeah. I like that. It's just, because he doesn't care. It's not like he cares for God anyway, so.
But even then, like,
but then you can't, like, still ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question was, in studying medicine, have you ever felt like all the diseases you see or you learn about, especially the genetic ones, make you think that God made a mistake or God is unfair?
I think so. Because, like, I know I've had those thoughts.
Because
even, like, as we said before, like, all things, like, even, like, whether we understand it or not, like, all things are good, even if, like, it doesn't make sense to me, type of thing. But, like, I could even, like, relate it to, like, my dad had a stroke, like, last year. My dad's, like, one of the most healthy people, like, in the world. Like, he works, like, gym rat. But not even, like, in a bad, like, he takes care of himself. Like, he's a really good whatever. And he had a stroke. And I was, like, man, like, what? Like, what is this? Like, why?
Yeah, why?
You know what I'm saying? Like, and you could see it as, like, why do clots even exist? Like, why do, like, things like that? Like, and they still don't even really know the cause for real, which is crazy. But all that to be said, though, like, I remember one time I was learning, we were learning about some type of deformity or something, and it's like, unfortunately, it's just sin, like, because sin crept into the world.
Yeah.
It's just the reality
of what we have. It's just polluted everything of the world.
Exactly. And so whether, like, I don't think it's necessarily fair for me to say what's fair or unfair, because in my eyes, like, I wouldn't even be able to fathom it. Even if, like, I say it's fair, like, or unfair, like, it's just good. Even if I don't agree with it, I think it's still all for His glory. I think maybe we're able to see just the effects of sin even more, and why we needed a Savior so badly. Like, that's a way that you can view things. I think it's hard. Like,
it's
very difficult, because I mean, it's not like, even like me, like, I feel very, like, I thank the Lord every single day for breath in my lungs and for waking up. I'm like, a lot of people aren't even able to be that cognizant because of something that they were born with. But I don't think that the Lord loves them any less. I think it's just sin. Sin is just in the world, and it has just taken over everything. And so we think in terms of fair and unfair, but it's like, it's just sin. And sin is not necessarily fair, but we chose it ourselves, essentially.
And the consequences of it are, unfortunately, long-lasting.
Yeah.
Except you have Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I know, because right now I'm doing Repro 1.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been something that I've been like, I've been struggling with. On one hand, I've been thinking of how beautifully intentional God is in creating a child. And that was truly a miracle. Like, we take it
so
for granted.
Get pregnant,
to get pregnant, to have a child that comes out without any deformity or anything. It's actually a miracle. Like, we think that the children with quote-unquote abnormalities are rare. But honestly, with the way everything works, it's not that rare. It's a miracle that there are as many healthy babies as there. So I think that's one thing that has been happening. But on the other hand, it's like, for those who do come out with deformities, I'm like, oh, like, did you deserve this? And stuff like that. And those thoughts have been running through my head. And I think, like, what you said is what I've been telling myself. Like, unfortunately, it's just the result of sin in the world that we're in. Is like, when people say I'm a good person, why do I need to be saved? You still are born of sin. It's just, you don't realize, for those who think they're good and whatever, you don't realize the capacity of evil that is within you until you're in a situation that brings it out as one. And for those where it seems like this, like, they didn't deserve per se to be in this, no one deserves to be sick or to have anything like wrong with them. It's not like deserving. We don't deserve goodness. We don't deserve to be healthy. It's not a deserving thing. It's just life. And there are people, I know that there's a pastor in the US who is quadriplegic means he's paralytic. He has no arms, no legs. I can't remember.
Like Australian?
Yeah, I think it's Australian. And then very impressive. So joyful. And it just reminds us that a lot of things we take for granted.
And I find
typically people like that. Yeah, they were looking for water in this school. Oh. And people were like really losing their minds.
You were getting mad at me.
That's true, because he's in charge of housing. So I remember. And I remember thinking, like, even me, I was getting irritated by the second day, like, why isn't there water? And I was like, one, maybe you are very rude. Where did the country you originally came from? It wasn't like, it didn't happen as frequently then. It's something that happened. Two, I was like, and then there was water that was out but wasn't clean. And so I was trying to boil it. And then I remember someone saying, like, you can't use that to have a shower. And in my head, I'm like, it's because you've had access to water for so long. The people who don't have access to water, and coming across any kind of water is fantastic. And so we take so many things for granted on a day-to-day basis. That it causes us to see certain things and think, oh, God is unfair. No, we're just not, we're not grateful for everything that we actually have. We don't deserve it, but he's been merciful to us. So, yes, my answer for it so far. If he has something else to reveal to me, I pray he does. That's where I'm at. And so my next question is, here in med school, in this particular med school, being a practicing Christian, is it always welcomed? Isn't always encouraged. So how do you not let that get to you?
I'm honestly, like, grateful to the Lord for, like, my upbringing, because I think I'm not a pastor's kid at all. Like, my parents are just very believing Christians. I think oftentimes you hear the stories of, like, the pastor's kids, like, being the wild ones and things like that, but I feel like I had a very strict upbringing. But I never felt like it wasn't that bad to the point where I feel like I'm being drawn to a lifestyle that's not the Lord. I went to a Christian college. I feel like that kind of helped shelter me a bit more. But I always tell people, like, me coming here was kind of like my college experience, because oftentimes in college, people will tend to, that's when they branch out and do everything in the world. And so for me, still being in a Christian school, going to college, me coming here is that, like, everything and anything at this, like, is accessible. And, like, but I'm just good. Like, and I've been that way. Like, I'm just good because, like, one, I'm here for a certain reason. And I don't want to compromise that, like, by being, like, dumb. But two, like, also, like, I feel like I'm just, like, just the contentment that, like, the Lord gives me, like, to just be okay. Like, I'm just, like, okay. And I feel like so often I think we try too hard to try to fit in, like, society, fit in the culture and things like that, where, like, you can't even, like, be different type of thing. Like, people are afraid to be different, and so, like, they'd rather compromise. But, like, I can still be cool. Like, we're both cool people, and we're also Christians. Like, so, like, it doesn't have to be, again, like, an either-or type of thing. Like, you don't have to try the things of the world just to be down, and you'll find often, because, like, you end up being, like, unfulfilled either way you take it. So I feel like for me, like, and I think I've always kind of been this way, though. Like, for a while, I did care a lot about what people said, like, growing up. But it was still in the context of the church, so it was still like kind of sheltered a bit. And so like it was kind of like, I mean, because church isn't also nicest all the time either. Yeah, but it was okay relatively. But like I finally grew to a space where like I just don't, not that I'm not teachable or that I don't submit to authority, but I don't care to follow under the status quo. It's because then again, like you will meet the people that you need to meet, and the Lord will bring the community that you need to have. And so I've been content. Like I have, like I feel like, like some people may say like I'm like I'm well known or like that I like I do talk to a lot of people, but in terms of like good friends, like I have my good, like if everybody else like went away, like, and I just have like my few little friends here, like I'm super content. And so I think that's just what keeps me like just being okay knowing. And I think honestly I have like a very healthy fear of the Lord, like, and like I remember my mom was telling me one time, like I was stressing about an exam as my final exam,
okay,
and like I just was like, I feel like I haven't done enough or whatever. And my mom was like, no, like the Lord has kept you this whole time. And like, I immediately thought about Moses and like the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about like how like he struck the rock like a second time, mm-hmm, and like the Lord was displeased with that and he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land.
So sad.
And I'm like, but he was good, like he did a good job bringing everybody up until that point, but it had to be Joshua that brought him through. Yeah. And like for me, like I always think about like, will me compromising, is that me striking the rock a second time? You already told me to do this. Like if I go ahead and like partake in this, or if I go ahead and kind of compromise on my faith or not be bold about my faith, like is that me striking the rock? Is that me denying you? Because honestly, I mean, of course, I would be sick, like, literally, because I wouldn't be with the Lord, but, like, I'd be so upset if, like, I get, like, I don't, like, depart from me, I do not, you know, like, I can't do anything at that point.
That is the
just from
the worst thing.
From people that think that they're professing the faith.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
it's,
I don't want to go
you,
by.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's actually much worse,
gosh,
if you believe that you're a Christian. Because there are people who don't care, and they have set their mind to not know
Christ.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's on them. And then there are people, like us, that we believe we're serving the Lord, and it's just like, I don't want
I'd
to hear
terrified,
that.
Like,
I would be so sad.
And then just knowing that for
eternity
that, like, it
like
was
I'm,
just, you didn't, like, I can't do it. And so that's sort of like, it's like a holy fear of that as well. Like, I just truly don't,
very healthy,
like, want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so, like, low temptations are all around. It's like, the Lord has kept me this whole time, and, like, so, like, why don't I just trust, like, that he'll just sustain me even more, like,
mm-hmm,
he'll take, because there's always an out for temptations or whatever, like, maybe the things that you're struggling with, and so, like, there's always an out, so just go to him, and he will continue to guide me, because he's taken me this far, so who am I to just say, oh, well, I'll take it from here, and then try to go back to him, like, he'll take me back, but I don't like to play with that alone.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you've answered my next two questions, which was, do you feel like you have a social life, and you said you have your friends, so you're good, which, same, like, for people who know me, I'm very social and friendly, but here I'm like, I'm still social and friendly, but my friend circle is much smaller here than it's ever been in my life. I'm very okay with it. And the other question I was going to ask was in terms of like, well, you didn't answer it specifically, but generally, like, if you've ever had a period that you felt really tempted to fall or...
I mean, literally being here, like, honestly, like, everything and, like, and my parents always, because I used to describe, like, every time I talk to my parents, man, this is a secular school. This is a secular school. But like, my parents are like, it's just a school.
It's just,
it's
school.
Just you just haven't been exposed to that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because,
like, well,
high
school
was not, at least for me, it wasn't that crazy. Like, I was still going to church. My friends
would
come to church with me, like, in high school, so it wasn't anything bad. But, like, being here, I'm like, man, like, we're doing that. Or, like, this is happening. And then, like, my parents are like, it happens everywhere. It's just you were
You're just not used to it.
And so I think, like, for me, like, there's definitely like the temptation, because also, like, I mean, you meet a lot of people here, and it's like you, and some, like, people are cool people, but it's like deep down in your spirit, like, I know, like, I just can't be as down to people as, like, I can't allow for that extra connection,
mm-hmm,
because they don't have the faith aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that I'm like rude to them or anything like that, but like, it's just the faith is so, like, it's just a, I remember I talked about this, I think my first time preaching, here at least, or honestly ever, I don't think I really preached like that before. But like, I was talking about how, like, where you root yourself, and like I was thinking about like a tree, like, oftentimes,
yeah, the one preaching,
like, oh yes I am. Hey, tune into RSCF. I don't know the Instagram, but it's like RSCF or something.
I'm
like
sure Jeff tagged them on this page before. So.
Uh-huh. But it was like, I was just talking about like how like where you root yourself, like that's where you were, like that's literally where you get your nourishment and things like that. And so often people tend to think that like there's a, I can read it. If
like
I
a
can.
Bible verse?
Yes. Yes, I think it's Psalms 1. It's a very, very short. All right, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And it just says like the wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away, and it goes on. But it's only like two more verses, but I don't read it. But like the biggest thing that for me in that what I spoke about was like, it's like so often we make excuses, and so it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And so like I remember like one of the excuses like I say that we tend to make is like, oh, I'm not walking with them, I'm just standing. So I'm standing in the presence.
Yeah.
And then when you stand somewhere, like that's where you get rooted.
Yeah.
And so like you're literally sharing the same root system with people that like are sinning and things like that. For the one who says, well, or nor stands in the way of sinners, and they'll say, oh, well, I'm not standing, I'm sitting. Literally the same type of thing. It's like, well, you're still surrounding yourself with them. And then nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Literally the same thing. Like you're just continuing to drive yourself lower and lower into the ground to be just rooted by this like same system of people around you. And so then people always are like, oh, you know, but Jesus hung out with sinners. But it's like, no, like, sinners hung out with Jesus. And he allowed himself to be accessible in a way
that so that they could be transformed.
Exactly.
That was the
and
purpose.
Then they didn't stay in the way. Like, he didn't tell the woman that's a well, okay, continue to do everything.
He didn't engage with them.
No, it's like, you need to be renewed, but I still take you as you are.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the biggest thing, to be who you are in the respect where, like, you don't compromise. Because so often, like, people, my parents always tell me, be the head and not the tail. Like, we tend to think that, like, oh, well, I can go be amongst them because whatever, but you end up being pulled down so low, and then you are lost at that point. You don't know who to turn to. So,
yeah, like my mom says that it's easier for someone to pull you down than for you to pull someone up. And literally, think of it in life.
Yeah, but
it's easier to be pulled down than to be pulled up.
Exactly.
And, like, I think coming here, I remember being, like, very cautious. I prayed about, like, friends. I prayed about fellowship.
Yes.
I was concerned that that would be part of the fellowship that actually was talking about the Bible and not a diluted version of the Bible. I remember, because I was going to be, now my relationship was going to be long distance, I was, like, very careful of, like, who I would allow in my space, boundaries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I had, like, accountability partners back home, where it's, like,
that's
Say that touch is not for me.
I think the biggest thing, and I remember I talked to Elijah about this a lot, like, people are so afraid of it. Because you even see it, like, so, like, there's rules even set here at medical school, like, about not being late or whatever. And I hear people all the time arguing about, like, oh, I was only a minute late. This is, like, but, like, because they don't want to submit to the authority that's just already there.
Yeah.
And so, like, how are you going to be, not to question anybody's ability to be a doctor, but, like, there's authority that, like, man, that, and God always works through authority. He never works around authority either. And so I feel like, but even in terms of submission to the Lord, like, we tend to be so afraid. Like, nobody wants to be, like, no one wants to have accountability partners, but or just have anybody to submit
to. Tell you what to do.
Because, like, we're
we don't
so,
like being
an offensive
to
culture nowadays. Like,
to
nobody
like,
wants to.
We like to be in charge of our
that's
own.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
As
it's
if
like,
we know what we're doing.
We don't. So, like, it takes vulnerability to say, like, hey, like, I need someone to keep me accountable, or I need this, or I need that. I think that's something that's like really, really like missing. I think that's honestly what helps as well. Like, not only because it's not in my own power, like, or how I'm so strong to like avoid temptations, but also just having that accountability. Like, I talk to my parents every single day, like my family every single day. I tell my mom everything. Like, my mom's like me, and so like I tell her like everything. But also, like, I have like my boys, like, I have people that I talk to and things like that. Like, even people here that like I'm like, okay, hey, like, I just need to talk to you about this real quick. Like, I actually like I'm either like struggling in this or like. You tell me like what I should do. Like, I remember that there's like a party that I was invited to, and I've never been to a, like I've never been to a party before, like not a college party, nothing like that. Never been to a party, and so like I was invited to one, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm looking at like whose it is, and like it looks like a really like out there picture. I'm like, this is not like, why am I even being invited? And it's like it was just the weirdest thing. And like, I remember I prayed about it. I talked to one of my good friends about it, thing is, like, honestly, like, just trust what your heart is saying. But, like, they had come from that lifestyle, and they were like, nah, like, it's honestly, you're not missing anything. And I think that's honestly good, though. I think that's something that we need to do more often, especially for us who, like, typically, like, didn't necessarily have the experience of being out on the road. I think it's very helpful for everybody to just still share their testimony, because, like, he's still also able to give his insight to say, like, oh, like, you're not missing out on anything. Like, and I think it's a temptation that, and it's bad that we think about this, but it's like, I would, like, when imagine, oh, it seems so fun out there, but it's really not, when for those who actually struggle with it and were delivered from it, like, it's not fun to be out there and things like that. And so, but it helped just to have those conversations. And then, like, I decided not to go, and then the party actually ended up being canceled, but I didn't know about it until after I decided that I was
Oh,
gonna
we
go.
were
So it's kind of
gonna
like my friend said, it was like the Lord revealing my own heart to me, like, waiting. And I was like, okay,
Yeah.
that's pretty cool. But, like,
Yeah.
it helps to just have people to talk to. So accountability is, like, really, really good, I
Yeah,
feel
good.
like.
Yeah, it's definitely good. And yeah, people just to check. It can be an uncomfortable thing depending on what you're accountable about. But it helps, I promise. Like, there's so many situations that I have been saved from based off of one of my closest friends is my accountability partner. And she knows my foolishness. She also has seen my growth. So she would be able to be like, this is what you should do. And also be like, no, you can do this. Like, yeah. So, and then my mom is too. I talk to my mom a lot, of course. So it saves me lots of stress. My mom is really, I'm grateful. She's very,
Say the
like,
wisdom.
she's vocal with me about things that she made, mistakes she made that she would wish she didn't make. And I don't think she even had a very wild past, but still, there's still things that she did wrong that she was just like, I don't need you to. And I plan on doing that for my own children.
I think that's the biggest
So
thing.
they don't make mistakes.
I don't believe in the whole, like, I mean, I think there are some things that are like a familial generational things like that. I don't know if I would call it necessarily a generational curse, but, like, it is like a doctrine or whatever that, like, you do have to really tend to just
Yeah, you
break.
do. You have to. Some of them exist,
And
yeah.
have, like, say that, okay, this is something that, like, I struggled with, or this is something that, like, you know, but I don't want to perpetuate this into my family. And I'm great, like, my parents do the same thing. Like, they're
I'm
like,
putting
they
in the
stop
work
it.
regarding it. Like, if you've seen a trend in like your family, and if you
Don't
like
ignore it.
getting married, and you've seen the similar trend in your
Oh,
partner's
yeah.
family, and it's like,
Got it.
we're gonna pray about this. This is not going to be in my
And I feel like the Lord's so
family.
sweet, like, in the respect that, like, He tends to put, like, I feel like, from what I've seen at least, and what I hear, like, typically, like, the somebody, the one of the partners or one of the spouses will have, like, either, like, the wife's husband will be just like her dad, or, like, the something like that, where, like, hopefully there's the conversation to allow for that, like, oh, like, I've been through this before, like, let me help you type of thing. I feel like how the Lord works it out. It's like, oh, why would you give me something that's just like my mom, like, just like my dad type of thing? But it's like, I feel like he sometimes, like, not all the time, but I feel like that's
People
something
say
that I've
that
seen a
the
lot.
girls marry their dad and boys marry their mom.
That's like
Such
typically
an
what you're attracted
interesting
to.
thing. I mean,
Yeah,
so an
like,
interesting thing.
subtly.
Yeah, but yeah, it's an interesting concept. But yeah, I think that was. Oh, I had one more question and then we wrap up. So, do you think that combining serving God faithfully and excelling in school is possible?
Oh my gosh. That's the only reason why. Like, obviously, like, I do my own work, but when I tell you, like, my journey here, like, and I've never not been like, I don't like when people say, like, when they're here and they say they're not smart. Like, I don't like that, because if you're in medical school, like, you're intellectual to some capacity, like, whether you deem it by grades or not. Like, my dad always said, like, you can't put your confidence in your grades, because, like, if it goes away, like, you're shattered, but that doesn't make you smart or
I know
whatever.
how that
Yeah, no, it's like,
feels.
it's not, you can't put your confidence in that. But, like, for me, there's been a lot of situations that happened to me, like, family-wise, like, with health and stuff like that, that's unprecedented. And, like, to the point where, like, I couldn't study for exams and things like that, or, like, and just how, like, well the Lord has allowed me to do, I'm like, there's no way it's me. Like, exams, I feel like I'm guessing and things like that, and I'm just carried through. And so I feel like there's no way, like, it has to be intertwined. Like, it can't be just, like, and then I think it can be dangerous, because, like, some people will be like, oh, well, like, how come maybe, like, I had to repeat, but, like, I'm a Christian or whatever. Like, you can take it as, like, God's punishing you. But I feel like, at least for me and my experience, the Lord, like, in the good and the bad, I feel like I've always praised Him. But, like, and I feel like that's why I'm being sincere. And that's also why, again, like, try my hardest not to do anything that's not pleasing to Him, because, like, I don't want to ever have, I feel like, low key, even sometimes, like, I feel like, He'll change my grade, even though I already did, like, whatever, like, while we're waiting for the grades. I feel like I'll have something be changed. And maybe this is like a little crazy, but like I'm like so like I just don't want to not please him. And so I feel like I've always put them together in the respect where like I'm just he's just kept me, and that's like the biggest thing for me. Like I feel like he's just a really good keeper. And I feel like for me, my experience, like I feel like we could have all gotten into medical school wherever we're supposed to be. But he wants us here for a reason, and he's called us here for a reason. And so I've had a lot of great experiences with like RCF and like people coming to Christ, like just because of something that I've gotten to be a part of. And so I feel like my purpose here is not to be a medical student, but it's to be a disciple for Christ in an island that I may not have ever
Come
decided to
to.
go to. Yeah. And I'm making community with people that like
Never
I've
seen.
never known anybody from Canada before. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's
That's
things
true.
like that. And then we're able to go from here and then continue to spread the gospel elsewhere. But like that's the first and most important goal. And then with that, I feel like as long as we're diligent in doing the things for him, then he will continue to keep us academic. At least that's what I feel like. Because like he, I don't think he'll ever bring me here to even do his work, but then not keep me. So he's been sustaining me, and then at that, he's keeping me well, as well as like not allowing me to scrape, but he's just keeping me well. So I think I have like 80 something days left. I'm praying like continue to keep me. But
Amen.
like you know, like it's just ultimately though, like I just want him to be pleased, not from how I did academically, because I feel like he's already sustaining me in that, but to just keep me and say like you did a good job with what I've tasked you to do, like whether it's in being a leader for RCF or in talking to this person or being light to this person, like you did well in that regard. I mean, so like I don't want to. I've always been talking about like this semester about like leaving a legacy, and I want to truly be able to leave something to say like. Even if you don't know it's me, like to plant a seed that is ends up being a harvest that someone else will sow. So,
That's nice. I think that I believe it. I think there have been times in my life, and this semester is not one of them, interesting, but I've been having anxieties regarding that, where I've worried that I wouldn't be able to balance serving faithfully and doing well in school. And in my undergrad, I feel like I had that problem. But looking back at my undergrad, honestly, those periods where I felt like I was serving faithfully and doing, I'm not doing well, I wasn't. I was serving in church, but my heart wasn't with God. So it was there to an extent. So I was engaging in things I didn't need to engage in. I wasn't disciplined. I didn't have a healthy fear of Him like I do. I just was always asking for mercy without having a reverence for Him that I should have had. And I think coming here, I've been much more stricter and much more like trying to be intentional. I think the beginning of this year, the devil was trying to bring up old wounds and make me feel like I'm gonna have to deal with things that he has delivered me from. And I said, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's not who my God is. And just being intentional and really trying to trust that even if things don't always go exactly how I wanted, that he's still good to me, that he's still faithful, that he's brought me here and he will make everything beautiful. I try my best to always be in a situation where I can come boldly before his throne of grace. But always reminding myself that my main reason for coming is what Jesus did in the cross of Calvary. But I don't want to take that for granted, so I act accordingly. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But yeah, thank you for coming with me
Thanks for
and talking with
inviting
me
me. Yeah,
today.
definitely.
So I have a Bible verse that I want to share to end it. And it is 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. And I'm going to say in the New Living Translation version. It says, instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. So it's just a reminder that be it in medicine, and people that think that medicine discredits God, and truly no, it brings glory to Him. Be it that you are living a life that what people think you're foolish with your lifestyle, but He will use that life that seems foolish to confound the wise. It would be so beautiful that people wouldn't be able to explain it. So just being sustained by that verse is what I wanted to leave with you today.
And your good news. Good news.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, we didn't start it this time. Thank you for remembering. So my good news for this today is at the time of recording this podcast, I have a new niece. My cousin and wife gave birth to a baby girl this morning. So yeah.
And my good news, I don't want to get it wrong, but I think it's 82 days that I have left, like, on the island. I'm in my last semester, so I normally don't
He's
count down,
leaving
but
us.
yes.
So,
Pray
yeah,
God. Pray
he's
God.
leaving basic sciences, so he would leave the island
Amen.
and then he goes back to the US to finish rotation. So,
Amen. In Jesus' name.
all the best. Hopefully, it goes well.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Do you have any last words for our guests?
I think just whether it be medicine or not, even honestly, just whatever reason you may listen to the podcast, to even if you don't fit whatever demographic like you may think that the podcast is for, honestly, I think whatever you feel called to do, like, just allow the Lord to use you in that. It doesn't have to obviously be medicine. And you may not even struggle with the same things that, like, we may struggle with being Black and things like that, and being Black in medicine, for maybe being a Black female in medicine, and just all of the things that you can kind of add to it. But I think still just being diligent with just whatever the Lord has called you to do. Mm-hmm. So if He's actually called you to be in the church and to serve through the church, like, do that super well. And don't think that you have to go outside of it to just be more popular or whatever. Like, the Lord has sustained you in that. But if He's called you outside of the church, like, also just do that well. But just be mindful that, like, I think there's a need for both. There's a need for people to be in the church and outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're able to reach different people groups that way. So honestly, just as long as you're doing what the Lord has told you to do, don't compare yourself to anybody else. But I think that's the most important thing. So just be sustained and content.
Thank you. Till next time, stay safe and stay blessed. Adios, amigos.